WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road. 31 crab cakes, 31 breweries, beginning on Monday right here at Conrad's Seafood. I got the J.O. Spice right here. We'll be at Conrad's on Monday the 1st doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Goodwill and our friends at Window Nation and the Restaurant Association of Maryland. I'm going to be thirsty. I'm going to be hungry. But nothing makes me thirstier than when the beer is cold and the Orioles are winning. The Orioles are back, so we're talking some baseball. This guy talks baseball about 366 days a year. He is one of the tenured longtime writers, and watching my buddy Timmy Kirchin get the Spink Award this weekend and going in. He is in Cooperstown, New York, as he joins us in the aftermath of a storied weekend and a lot of folks going on beside Tim Kirchin. We welcome Barry Bloom back onto the program. Long time at the AP, long time Baseball Digest and reading him as a kid, now with Sportico, and you can follow him out on Twitter at Boomski. Even though he's out on the West Coast, he's back on the East Coast. How are things in Cooperstown? What's that, your 100th visit there? You've been there a lot, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you count orientations and just visits and, you know, inductions, yeah, it's probably been over 50. This was my 21st induction.
Well, I mean, we used to play baseball games up there, and, you know, I thought about my cousin going in 1984, and I Googled the speech the other day. For you going up, how has that part of it changed? The time we went up to see Ripken, they moved the thing up under the hill because he and Gwynn were going in, and there was 100,000 people up there. How was the weekend? I mean, I know baseball from a TV perspective and revenue and this and that, but how's old Cooperstown doing up there with Josh Rawlins?
Yeah, you know, the story I wrote today is that, you know, basically it's starting to bounce back from 2019 to where it was in 2019. But, you know, this place and the hall has been hit hard by the pandemic and the aftermath and loss of revenue, tax funds, ticket, you know, tickets. As you know, they had to cancel the 2020 induction ceremony. They had to push it back to September of last year to even get it done. Then there was no class of 2021 because, you know, the baseball writers didn't vote anybody new in, and there and the error committee votes were canceled. So now, you know, you basically had an accumulation of a number of people coming off error committees, and David Ortiz is the only guy we voted in. So it was kind of poignant because you had, you know, Oliva, you had Cott, you know, have been, they're in their 80s, and it's nice that they got in before they died. I mean, there's no question about it. And I think, as Cott said, he had made peace with it, that he just wasn't getting in the Hall of Fame. And then all of a sudden he gets into the Hall of Fame. I think the last time, or maybe the time before he was on his error committee, he missed by one vote. And then for the life of me, I don't understand why we as baseball writers never voted him in. With something like 280 wins, the amount of complete games, 16 Gold Gloves, it's Maddox territory. You know, I just think we undervalued pitchers. There was a time when, you know, I first started voting, because I've been voting since 1992, where essentially if you didn't win 300 games as a starter, you didn't get in. So you had guys like Cott and Tommy John, who were right below the Maginot line, and they didn't get in. And it was just stupid.
What do you make of that? Because I spent my childhood, you know, like literally I'm a baseball guy. I've been in the media business from the beginning. I believed at one point I might have a card. I probably would have had a card if we had a normal ownership here. If we didn't have a, you know, flaming prick for 30 years owning the team, I would still be on the baseball beat. Maybe I'd have a vote. I don't want to vote. I mean, I'm 53. I don't need to. I think the whole steroid era over the last 20 years has so greatly affected everything about it, right? Like, where my cousin had a hard time getting in because he was a field stealing, no hit kind of guy. And that was 40 years ago now. We're going back, right? But during that time, people would say, well, Aparicio, I mean, I can make a case for him, but I'm not going to make a case for Harold Baines or Ted Simmons or Santo or the guy Cott. Blylevin, Necro, all these guys that were sort of fringe, Tommy John, all these guys were fringy. Now Garvey's in the conversation. They put Baines in. So now we've opened the DH conversation. I believe Edgar Martinez belonged in all. But there really is some gray area here as far as how much things have changed because Rose, Bonds, the steroid guys aren't a part of it. So now I think it's loosened. I think it's – and I don't know if that's good or bad. Probably good for baseball. But it used to be so exclusive. Well, I don't feel that way when they're putting Harold Baines in and when they're finally putting Jim Cott and different people in. I think they're great players. But the Hall of Fame was something different 30 years ago in my mind statistically. And you mentioned all those barometers, 500, 300, all of that.
Well, I mean – I think that what the ballot, especially the 15 years on the ballot that it used to be, really gave you a time to, as perspective, to throw a guy's career stats against what was going on in the most modern era. And pitching, nothing has changed in the game like starting pitching. So when you view, I started voting for Blylevin, you know, late in his career because of, you know, look, What was he, fourth or fifth in strikeouts, shutouts, complete games?
He always played on crappy teams, too, for the most part.
Well, he won a World Series with the Pirates, but, you know.
We don't talk about that here, by the way, and I don't talk about that with him when he makes me wear the ring, because he does that to me, you know.
You can't be such a sore supporter about it. Okay, but I mean, you view these guys in a completely different, you know, prism because of how starting pitching is handled now. And guys can't get through the seventh inning. And now you had guys like Cott and John, and I think Cott said yesterday that for the life of him, he can't understand why Tommy John's not in the Hall of Fame, because here's a guy who had an elbow surgery named again for him. He's like the most famous pitcher in history, practically. He won more games after the elbow surgery than he did before. And he wound up right under 300 wins, and he's not in the Hall of Fame. I think these lines are just sort of ridiculous. And I wonder now, I mean, I've talked to Verlander about it at length. I've talked to Kershaw. You know, how do you get these guys into the Hall of Fame? Okay, Verlander, he's moving up the ladder. And I think if Verlander continues to pitch the way he does into his early 40s, he could still get 300 wins. But Kershaw's going
to
be lucky.
Why do they need 300 wins now, though, to be at this point in the game? Why is that still?
He wants 300 wins.
Right.
You know, you don't understand that pitchers think wins are really important.
But if he wins 286, does that keep him out?
No, of course not. Not in
this
era.
I just think he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, I don't know how they're going to make a case against him or Scherzer or these guys that have done it during the modern era.
Look, I think CeCe is a Hall of Famer with 250 wins and 3,000 strikeouts. And I'm going to vote for him as soon as he gets on the ballot in 2025, if I'm still around. But I mean, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of other people are not. And the dynamic for voting for a Hall of Fame pitcher when Kershaw may not even get 200 wins or might be right around it are going to have to be completely different. You're going to have to use advanced metrics that a lot of us don't even understand or know. You know,
it used to be, were you great or were you not? Were you? I mean, the Hall of Famer, like you could look at it and say, that's Brooks Robinson. That's a Hall of Famer. You know, that's Jim Palmer. He's a Hall of Famer. That's Dave McNally and Mike Cuellar. They're not. You know,
I think that, you know, what I judge it as is if you were the best player in your era, your position, or one of the top, you probably belong in the Hall of Fame. And so now, you know, you look at it in terms of, you know, how you vote for those people. And in the last era, inclusive of the so-called steroid guys, you know, we had multiple. We must have put in 20, 25 people in the Hall of Fame from that era, not including McGuire, Sosa, you know, Barry and Clemens.
Well, there are confirmed users in now, right?
Yeah, right.
Like Big Poppy, Pudge Rodriguez. We can go through those guys. I mean,
okay, but that's not the point. The point is that there could have been 30 people from the last generation in the Hall of Fame. In this generation, there might be 10, if you're lucky. You know, you start with the people who have already retired, like Ichiro and CeCe. Ichiro is a slam dunk. you have Carlos Beltran on the ballot for the first time next year. He's a bubble guy who's going to be affected by the Houston sign stealing scandal. Then you have Beltre with 3,000 hits coming up after that. He'll get in. But Albert obviously will be a first timer when he gets on the ballot in 5 years after he retires. But Cabrera, who else is on the list? I mean, you go far out to the Trouts and Harpers and people like that, but that you're talking about 10 to 15, 20 years from now. In this generation, people who are, 10 years and above in experience now, it's a very small crop of players who are the best ever at their positions, and even if they were the best in this time frame at their positions. I mean, we're talking about Scott Rolen next year. I mean, Scott Rolen, a Hall of Famer?
Almost an Oriole one day. I remember that trade that didn't happen.
I mean, I voted for him in the last couple of years because I've had some spots. I voted for Todd Helton. But believe me, if Garvey's not in the Hall of Fame, I don't see why Helton should be in the Hall of Fame. Except...
Well, that Barry, that would be my point. Barry Bloom's joining us here for Sport O'Clock. I do want to reset. Tommy John... I remember for years it was Blylevin, it was Necro. Before that, it was the Scooter. There were all these guys that were sort of waiting their turn to get in.
Is another one.
Jim Cott should have been in the Hall of Fame 30 years ago. He was one of those guys that
we missed on him. We missed on John. We missed on Trammell. We missed on Morris. There are guys that we should have had in the Hall of Fame.
Well, who's left? That's what I'm asking you, because other than the obvious, Clemens, Bonds, Rose, just go through all the cheaters, right? Go through that, and they deserve to be in my mind, because it's a Hall of Fame, and once you start putting cheaters in, you're cheating the game. But for me, what else is out there once you put Harold Baines in, once you've put the next Fred McGriff era,
right.
What's the next group of old timers that go?
Well, he's the obvious one. McGriff is one that we could have voted in, but he didn't have 500 home runs. His career arc was pretty much as a non-steroid guy. It was normal. He got to 36 years old and he started to taper off. The steroid guys, if you look at them, they had some of their best years from 30 to 40, 41. Barry had some of his greatest years at 38, 39 years old. It's kind of unusual. Some of it is an anomaly, like Kareem, where he still kept playing at a fairly high level late into his 30s, not at what he did when he was a kid. But he wasn't doing drugs to do that. He was just a specimen. And when you say, okay, you
I can't wait when we figure out what Tom Brady's doing. When it's all over with, whatever he's doing to cheat, whenever that's over with, we'll figure that. That'll come out.
Whatever he's doing, I want to do.
Well, it's avocado ice cream, obviously, Barry.
Whatever. If that's it, I'm eating it. But, to your point, that's why they're limiting the amount of people who are now on these ballots. And the errors are changing, and how the Hall of Fame adjusts all the time and makes new rules and makes up their own rules. Now you have the modern day committee starting 1980 forward. So it includes Garvey, the Dick Allen. There's a big push for him. I'm not sure that I'm not against him, but I don't know that I'd vote for him. Not with the stuff he did off the field and in the clubhouse. I know he was loved in some fashion by his teammates, but then you cast what his numbers are. And if you're hanging it on, he's one of the highest in history in OPS plus, which was a stat that wasn't even used in his era. Okay. But those are the guys you're looking at right now. You're looking at Tommy John, Dick Allen, Steve Garvey, McGriff. And then, you have a separate committee now for managers, executives, and umpires who were in the game from 1980 on. And then a mixed one, a mixed bag, for the earlier ones. And then, the earlier ones, they think they've had everybody who should be in the Hall of Fame from that group already. And you know, then they revisited Negro Leagues again, which they said they were never going to do. But now this year we did it again, and Buck O'Neill got in, where the last time he was missed by a vote. And then they said they'd never do it again. And it just as a sidebar, didn't it work out great for Buck O'Neill and his family? I mean, now he's in the hall, he's got a statue, and he's got an award named after him. He's got more recognition in the hall than anybody in the hall. Babe Ruth, nobody has the recognition that Buck O'Neill has in that hall at this point. And nobody may ever again, because they tried to compensate for the wrongs by giving him more honors, and now he eventually is in the Hall of Fame anyway. So I think it's tremendous, and it's also an absolute example of how screwed up the Hall of Fame is.
Well, I'm glad that you at least point that out, because as a fan, and you said you've been there 50 times, I've been there 10, you know, over the course of my life. It's been a little while, and I'm trying to think of what would ever bring me back there. I did it on the baseball tour. I did a whole broadcast, did a whole day from there, and I'm thinking, why would I go back again at this point? And it would be a player. It would be an induction. It would be if I'm driving through upstate New York in some way. But I think about what 10 years from now is going to look like. And I'm hoping you live that long, and every Tim Kurchin and Rosenthal, all my friends that vote, where is Clemens and Bonds? And I mean, are they long forgotten and it's just never going to happen? And it may happen 50 years from now when we're all dead and gone. Or is there ever going to be some sort of redo on the dirty player? A-Rod, saw him running around the other day.
I just answered this question on another Zoom session I was on this morning. And, you know, what it is to me is that it's going to be more difficult for those guys to get into Hall under the error committee format, because you have 16 members on that committee. You now have you put in more people from more different eras. You know, as we talked about, you can only put 8 people, I think, now on the ballot instead of 10. You can only vote for 4. And the committee is made up of Hall of Famers, both players and executives, some writers, a few historians. And they're going to have an ethos that they're not going to put these people in the hall. And I think they had a better chance on our ballot because you had 400 people in the group and you never knew how somebody was going to run and how somebody was going to vote. And even then, the collective ethos among the minority kept them out, because you have to have 75%. 67% is not good enough to get into the hall. So I think, to your point, how this is solved is that way down the road, there's going to be a special committee, just like the Negro League committee in 2006, and they're going to revisit the steroid era, and everybody's going to get in, because this is a museum. It's a Hall of Fame. The people who, you can't have a Hall of Fame that doesn't have the greatest home run hitter of all time, greatest hits, the all-time hits leader, who's not going to be surpassed. Bonds is not going to be surpassed. You have Roger Clemens was second in his era with 354 wins. Can you imagine 354 wins ever again? You have like Palmeiro, who is like one of your guys. He's like one of the few guys in baseball history.
I wouldn't vote for him. You know, I mean, I covered him. There's no way I would vote for Palmeiro. No way.
But saying that, you know, he's one of the few guys in history with 500 home runs and 3,000 hits. And then, you know, Sosa is the only guy in history with three times hitting 60 homers. And McGuire, you know, hit 70.
How many black ball guys are there? I mean, if we're going to name names, right?
I just gave you the list.
It's everybody. Bonds, Clemens. I guess A-Rod will be on that list. McGuire, Sosa, right?
Yeah, but as opposed to all the other guys, when their careers spanned mostly an era where, even though it might have been illegal publicly not to do these drugs, it wasn't illegal in baseball and there was no drug testing. You know, A-Rod, even though, you know, he was not tested positive, he was a non-analytical because of the whole thing in Florida, and he was suspended for a year. So there's going to be good reason when everybody assesses A-Rod. That all goes into the mix, and you go, well, Bonds and Clemens are not in. Why should A-Rod get in? I mean, Ortiz fell into that little fold there where, you know, did he really test positive in 2002 when they did survey testing? That never was publicly acknowledged, even though it slipped out, according to sources in the New York Times story, that him and Manny and Bonds and a number of people tested positive, but that was never proven, and nobody ever confirmed it. So I mean, so Ortiz falls into that crack too, and as great a guy as he was with the media generally, that's why he got in. If Barry was Ortiz, if he had that personality, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
I remember when they made Jim Rice wait to get in, which was insane. Oh, yeah. I saw Jim Rice play baseball, and he was a Hall of Famer.
Right, exactly. Well, he was a Hall of Famer for 10 years. He's like, you get the little guys like, you know, Morris or Rice, who were great in the American League for 10 years and didn't have the big overall numbers, counting numbers, that a lot of people had in the Hall of Fame. And that's how they suffered. I mean, that's why Rice got in on the final vote in his 15th year. And that's why Morris didn't get in. He actually lost votes on our ballot at the end. And then he was put in by the Veterans Committee. So, I mean, the very next year. So in his 16th year, he got put in. You know, Trammell in his 16th year got put in. You know, so, you know, that's where we are on all that. But those guys that we just all talked about, they're going to be the people, and probably Pete Rose too, who once we're all long dead and gone, and Jaden Forbes Clark is dead and gone, and the Hall of Fame is under a conservancy or however she set it up, you know, because there's no heir to James Forbes Clark, then, you know, they will, in some enlightened leadership there, they will have a committee, and those guys will get into the Hall of Fame.
Well, I hope by then the Orioles have maybe played a playoff game or two. Barry Bloom is here from Sportico. Yeah, I've avoided the prosperity of the Baltimore Orioles here for 15 minutes with you. It's coming a little early, right? I mean, this prosperity for the Orioles, and I think everybody here is a little shocked. I don't know how long or how sustainable this is, but certainly the Orioles are coming, and it's been a long time coming.
I've got to wrap this up for you, but what I will say is that it's amazing that it shows that if you put together, you know, a team and it's managed well and it has, you know, good chemistry and players are doing the right thing, that you could have a payroll which is less than Max Scherzer's salary and essentially, you know, go to the mats for a period of time. Now, I think where it's going to affect the Orioles, just like it affected wholly the A's for the whole season, is that when guys in the lineup are contributing start getting hurt and you get down to nut crunching time and you have to replace them with people from double A and triple A, you know, they're just not going to be there because you're not going to be able to do it with a $50 million payroll or whatever it is that the Orioles have right now. I mean, they're the lowest payroll in Major League Baseball and the A's are right above them. And Scherzer's salary is higher than when you add his deferred money from the Nationals, he's higher than almost four teams. The Pirates and the Indians are right above him too.
If you take out all the money they're giving Chris Davis, it makes it even worse.
Well, yeah, but you know, they've made some bad decisions. So, you know, but you know, look at it, the playoff race with for the 12 teams in the playoffs, the third wild card spot, you know, they're still within reach. So,
well, let us dream a little bit. And here's what, now that we're getting competitive, we might even get you back into Baltimore for a crab cake and an ice cold cocktail. So
I'd love to be on that 31-day tour. It would be fabulous.
Pick any day you want. I got John Arand joining me in a couple of weeks. I got people, Oriole fans are coming out of the woodwork because I got beer and crab cakes. That's the way to lure them out. Barry Bloom is here. He is at Sportico. You can follow him at Boomski out on Twitter for the best baseball coverage anywhere. Always on the inside, always writing stuff, including up in Cooperstown this weekend in honoring Jim Cott and others. Long overdue in the case of Jim Cott getting into the Hall of Fame. And long overdue for Timmy Kirkshen to get in as well. So a little Baltimore angle there. Barry, take care of yourself. I know you get another engagement engagement you got to get to. Hope we can talk some baseball maybe next month. The Orioles are still involved here at 500 level. All right.
Sounds great, Nestor. Great.
Sixth wild card, man. We got a chance. Saying we got a chance. He is Barry Bloom from Sportico. Go join him. You can join us on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. 31 crab cakes, 31 days, 31 breweries all over the state. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're giving away these Show Me $10,000 tickets all month long. We're starting our tour at Conrad Seafood. We're going to be – I have the Conrad spices here. They gave delicious. This is the crab seasoning, but I'll tell you what. We're going to be at the Chopper Road Seafood Market location on Monday kicking off the tour. It's near the radio station. It's right in Towson. It's a great market with a great family. Tony Conrad's going to take me out, do some crabbing later on in the month. We're going to get an early morning together. I'll be giving the entire – schedule for the tour out a little later on by Friday. It'll be up at BaltimorePositive.com. It's also brought to you by our friends at Window Nation. They're doing windows around here. Want to remind everybody, you buy your windows this month, you get a free door. Take advantage of that, WindowNation.com, as well as our friends at Goodwill and open the jobs program and getting the Goodwill truck back out to take care of all of my summer cleaning around here. Also, our friends at the Restaurant Association of Maryland. I had Marshall Weston on a couple of weeks ago at Costas, keeping all the restaurants well as part of our promotion to make sure you're eating local, drinking local with 31 local breweries. It's going to be a big, big month around here, and the Orioles involved in a real pennant race, and the Ravens getting back out onto the field. It's good times around here. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.